Hey everyone, my name is Edmund Behan, the author of Poetry Speaks, published by CJ Fallon. You're very welcome to the Poetry Pod. It's a podcast which is written to help you to complete your revision worksheets on prescribed poems in your Poetry Speaks textbook. This set of podcasts is for the 2023 exam. You can see in your worksheet that there are 9 key headings, each of which asks you for a concise response to various features of a poem. This introductory podcast includes some guidance on each section to help you to understand what you are expected to write about for each heading. Subject matter. The first question on your worksheet is asking you to write about the subject matter of the poem. Subject matter simply means what the poem is about. To answer this question, write a concise summary of what happens in the poem. Ask yourself, is there an event taking place? Or what situation is the poet describing? Or maybe, what experience is the poet sharing with us? The title might be a good place to start thinking about this heading before examining each section or stanza of the poem. But remember, you don't have to include every detail of the poem. Just write a broad overview of what the poem is about. The second heading to write about is the poem's theme. Ask yourself, what is the main message that the poet wants to share with us? Is it a positive or a negative message? Is it optimistic or pessimistic? Some themes can be applied to everyone, and these are called universal themes. Some themes are more personal to the poet's life experience. Many themes deal with issues in society such as poverty, injustice, war or inequality. But poets also write about positive experiences and feelings such as love, respect, admiration, special memories, family relationships and so on. When you consider a poem's theme, this will also help you to understand the purpose of the poem. That is, why the poet wrote the poem in the first place. In quote 3, you can write down any 3 words, phrases, lines or images from the poem that you liked or thought were interesting. Give a reason for your choice. For example, do you like the way it describes something very clearly? Or does it give you a new insight into the poem's subject matter? Maybe it's a humorous line, or perhaps it appeals to one or more of your senses. For example, can you imagine a particular smell or sight or sound from a description in the poem that makes the scene come to life? The fourth heading is imagery. So while you're looking at descriptions, it's always a good idea to check if the poet has used imagery such as similes, metaphors, personification or symbols. Now, you don't need to identify every example. One or two would be fine. And be aware as well that while identifying imagery will earn you marks in an exam, it is even better if you can suggest the impact of these images on the reader. So try to get into the habit of saying what impact a metaphor or simile had in the poem. For example, did the image help you to understand the key idea? Or perhaps it left you feeling happy or annoyed or angry or hopeful and so on. The fifth heading is language. For language, take a broader look at the poet's choice of words or vocabulary in the poem. Is the language generally formal or is it informal? Is the language complex or simple? Is it easy to understand or difficult perhaps? Does the writer use conversational language that sounds like natural speech? Suggest, if you can, why you think the writer chose to write using this type of language. For example, is the language appropriate to the subject of the poem or to the theme of the poem? Words which you could use to describe language include vivid, striking, original, memorable, disturbing, heartwarming, emotive, and so on. Remember too that poets usually want us to feel something when we read their poems. They want us to step into the shoes of another person and consider how they see and experience the world. Language that makes you feel a certain way can be referred to as emotive language. The sixth heading is form. So, form is the structure or the shape of the poem. In other words, how the poet has structured the poem and what it looks like on the page. Some forms, such as the sonnet form, are quite rigid, and there are lots of rules for the poets to follow. Other forms, such as free verse, are more flexible, and poets can vary the length of the lines, and they don't have to follow a fixed pattern of rhyme or of rhythm. Count the number of stanzas in the poem, and check if each stanza has the same number of lines, and if those lines are more or less the same length, or do they vary throughout the poem. You may also look at how the poem is punctuated. If a poem is heavily punctuated, the commas and full stops tend to slow down the rhythm of the poem. Perhaps the poet wants to achieve this effect, especially if it is a sad poem. Other poems have very little punctuation, and the poem seems to flow much more quickly. This is called enjambment. It can convey a sense of excitement or urgency in a poem. Another name for enjambment is a run-on line. Just one final point on stanzas in a poem. Remember that a two-line stanza is called a couplet. If it rhymes, it's called a rhyming couplet. A three-line stanza is a tercet. A four-line stanza is a quatrain. And a five-line stanza is a cinquain. Section 7 is sound. For this section, check if the poet has used end rhyme. Is there a pattern of rhyme in the poem? Can you identify the pattern? If there is no end rhyme, can you suggest why the poet didn't use it? Rhyme in a poem can draw attention to the poem's key words, and it may create a particular atmosphere in that poem. Other types of sounds to listen out for include alliteration, assonance, and onomatopoeia. Alliteration is where similar consonants appear at the beginning of words in the same line. For example, in the line, the fox foraged in the forest. So that repeated F sound there is an example of alliteration. Assonance occurs where vowel sounds are repeated in words. For example, in the line, a rolling stone gathers no moss. You can probably hear those O sounds repeated in that line. So that would be an example of assonance. Onomatopoeia, of course, occurs when a poet uses a word that almost mimics the sound it describes. For example, words such as hiss, bang, or pop. The next heading is tone and mood. The tone of a poem tells us what a poet thinks and feels about the subject of the poem. For example, if a poet is writing about war, and the poet feels that war is a viable solution, and they are in favour of war, then the tone of the poem could be one of celebration. However, another poet might totally disagree with this viewpoint. And while he or she might write a poem about war, that is, a similar subject, the tone could be very different. The second poet might have a tone of anger, outrage, or even disgust in the poem. So a poem's tone could be serious, it might be playful, humorous, and so on. The mood of a poem is the atmosphere created by the poem. Mood is the emotion or the feeling that you, the reader, experiences when you read that poem. Put simply, how did you feel when you first read the poem? Did you feel happy or sad? Were you uplifted or feeling dejected? Were you cheerful or were you fearful? Something in the poem made you feel this way. So think about the words, the images, and the ideas that had this impact on you. The final heading is personal response. Questions that ask for your personal response are very common in the Leaving Certificate exam, both in the prescribed poetry section and in the unseen poetry section. Essentially, it's a chance for you to say what you feel about a poem, what you think about the way a poem is written, or perhaps the impact that the poem has had on you. You might also be asked to share your impression of the poet. For example, has the poet managed to change your perspective on a topic, or at least made you consider the topic in a new or different way? Can you relate to anything in the poem? Perhaps you are reminded of some feeling or experience or memory of your own. In other words, does the poem speak to you or move you in some way? Can you remember if that poem sparked discussion or debate in your classroom when it was being studied by students with your teacher? And why was that? In summary then, to answer on the personal response section in the worksheet, try to identify one or two things about the poem that you liked. To help you, look back on the sections you have already answered in the worksheet: the subject matter, theme, imagery, and so on. Is there anything that you can say really impressed you, or something you thought was well written? Perhaps an unusual or effective description or idea, or maybe an image or a sound effect that you liked. You can, of course, say that you disliked the poem, but you must always have good reasons to support your point. Therefore, think about the evidence you can bring to the answer. If you can gather more evidence to say why you like the poem, then this is the option you should take. If you decide to say you dislike the poem, you will still need evidence. And don't be tempted to write down vague, unsupported points such as, "Oh, it's a stupid poem," or "I couldn't understand anything in the poem." These are just generalized statements, and unfortunately, they won't earn you very many marks in the exam. That's almost it then, and I hope you found some of the ideas helpful to you when you're completing your worksheets. When you have completed a worksheet, your teacher might invite you to share your answers with one or two other students in your class. Before you do that, though, read back over your answers and complete the self-assessment using the colours of the traffic light. Try to do this as honestly as you can, because you are trying to identify your strengths, but also the areas in which you can improve. Finally, there are a number of ways you can use the Poetry Pod. You may, of course, listen to the podcast in sections, and after each particular section, you can pause the podcast, then fill in your response to the section that you've just listened to, and then continue with the podcast right through to the next heading. A second approach is to play the podcast right through from beginning to end, but to jot down some key ideas or points onto a blank A4 sheet as you go along. Then at the end of the podcast, you could refer back to your notes and complete the revision worksheet. A third approach is useful when your teacher wants you to engage in collaborative learning with your peers. In this approach, you work in pairs or in small groups of three. And after listening to the podcast section by section, you discuss and share your ideas in your group before completing the relevant sections in your worksheets. Note too that your teacher may ask you to complete a worksheet at home as part of your homework. So in this case, you just log on to my.cjfallon.ie and click on the podcast for the poem which you are revising. Finally, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this introductory podcast, and I want to wish you the very best of luck with your worksheets.